Dear Lord, we're just so thankful that we can be called your children because of Jesus. And Lord, we just praise him this morning. Lord, I pray that you be with Brother Roddy as he comes and speaks your word. And God, I pray that you speak through him. And Lord, that we just feel your presence and just are encouraged by you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning. As always, Brother Jack, thank you so much for bringing us to the throne of God right there with the beautiful music and worship already. Jesus sets us free. Yesterday we celebrated the 4th of July, 250th anniversary. And one comment has already been made that actually that's not really that old, is it? When you get to other countries and nations and stuff. With it. But we are the land of the free. Matter of fact, I don't know how many of y'all have been keeping up with the World Cup. I haven't really kept up with too much, but my son has. And all the people that have come over to America and just astonished at what's here. They're like, really? We didn't realize it was like this. They didn't realize how free we really are in that. We are free. We are a free country. We're free to do whatever we want. And that's where we get in trouble. Because you see, really, we're not free. We're going to see it this morning that actually, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we'd be a slave to sin like we just sung about. Because we still have sin. And that's what I want to look at this morning. You see, I'm not talking about freedom from government or anything like that. I'm talking about the freedom from sin. Because sin is what deceives us by promising freedom. Each and every one of us have that. We were born with that sin nature right there. You know, I can remember as a child telling my first lie. I was never taught that. It just came natural with it. It's the same thing for you and me with it as well. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, preacher, but I am free. I'm free to do whatever I want. And like I said, there lies the problem because of our sin nature that's in us. Our desires and stuff will lean that direction. That's part of why Jesus came with that. You see, that sin nature enslaves us by compelling us with our desires to do something that's more desirable than Jesus. And actually, I've talked to people before about it, and there are people that will say, I'm fine desiring things more than Jesus. As long as I have my freedom, I'm good with everything. Well, I think they would change their mind and change their tune if they knew where that freedom actually leads to through sin is hell. It's eternal separation from God. But just like I said, we did celebrate 250 years. And we are in a country of free. We're free right now. We don't have to worry about anybody coming up knocking on our doors. I don't have to worry about somebody standing outside and getting ready to arrest me for preaching God's word. We are blessed in that. Well, we can also be spoiled in that. Like I said, because we do have that sin nature in us. And that's what Jesus sets us free from. Sin no longer has a master over us as a believer because of Jesus Christ. Because when you get right down to it, like I said, we are enslaved by sin. You and I really don't have power to overcome it. If we did, then why would Jesus come? We're going to see what he talks about here this morning in John chapter 8 with that. John chapter 8, starting verse 31. So Jesus is saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And we're going to 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus says right there, if you continue in my word, his word of God, God's Bible, then you will know the truth. Actually, we can go in another part of the gospel where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is talking about himself because he is the truth. Where sin lies to us, Jesus tells us the truth. A lot of people don't like that. Why? Because we are in the land of the free. I don't want to be told what to do. Don't want to be told what to do. But Jesus says, you got to be. Why? Because of that sin nature. Because he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He's not talking about physical freedom here, folks. He's talking about that spiritual freedom, that freedom from sin that separates us. And I have to laugh at this next verse right here, verse 33. Isn't it? Because the Jews respond to him. Look what they say. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you'll become free? Oh my. They need a history lesson, do they not? I wonder what happened in Egypt for over 400 years. A little thing called slavery, bondage. It's a lot of people debate the years right there, 400, 430. It's a lot more than 250. A whole lot more. And they were enslaved. But it doesn't stop there. I mean, go back and look at the history. What happened with Assyria? And let's don't forget the Babylonians. The Medo-Persian Empire, Syria. And at that present time, when Jesus talked to them, who was controlling them there? Rome. They weren't getting it with it. I want to say a side note to this too. This is where we need to study our history and remember the past with that. They were denying it. We're Abraham's descendants have never yet been enslaved to anyone. Oh my goodness. I think if I was Jesus at that time, I would have just took them back in time right there at that moment. He said, hey, how you like it now? Same thing for us, folks. We need to remember our past. We do need to remember it. And remember the history of right there with that. So that's just a little side note. Again, Jesus is talking to them not about physical enslavement right there. Look what he goes in. Verse 34. Jesus asked him, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Now, when Jesus uses that word, truly, truly, it's like he's telling the truth. He's reminding them, hey, you need to focus on this. And he says, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Actually, you can go to Romans 3:23 and it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us are sinners. We've committed sin. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'm not jumping ahead too much, we would be enslaved to that sin. And that's what he's bringing out right there, as he says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You see, that's what Satan wants. He might advertise it as freedom, quotes around that. But really, he's wanting control. He wants to master us. He wants to master us through sin. And Jesus is telling us right there, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That means sin controls and masters us. And look what else he goes into saying, verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. Now other versions would say, but the son does remain. The NASB says, has a semicolon right there with it. But Jesus is talking about this. A slave doesn't remain in the house. A slave is different than a child. Slave was not permanent. We just got singing beautiful songs about being a child of God. Why, how is that happening? Through Jesus Christ. You see, if we're enslaved to sin, sin is what masters us. And we don't belong in the family. And we don't belong in the family of God. That's what Jesus is bringing out right there with that. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. You see, a slave was not family. Family members were hired as slaves. Therefore, the slave had no permanent place in the family. And just like I said, slaves to sin have no place in God's family. If that was so, then why would we need Jesus? Why would we need Jesus? If it didn't matter about sin, then why would we need God? We just live our life. But God knows that sin is what enslaves us. And that's why Jesus talked about that right here. That sin enslaves us with it. And we can't master sin. Never will. We are powerless against sin. Matter of fact, Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. It's not talking about physical death, folks. This is a spiritual death. Because guess what? If the rapture doesn't happen at some point, this body is going to just die. Matter of fact, I've shared before with you how we're born to die. At the moment we're born, we start dying. This body starts growing, getting older with it. But here, for the wages of sin is death. That is that spiritual death. Separation from Jesus Christ and from God forever. And that's what he was making reference to back over there in verse 35. But he also goes in and says this, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the difference. Just like he said over here in verse 35 of John 8, says the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. Here he tells us, the gift of God is eternal life. We just got through singing about that again. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us that. But God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. While we were still in that sin, Christ died for us to set us free from sin. Now, we'll go back over to John chapter 8, and Jesus says it right there, verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Son, Jesus Christ, he is the one who makes us free. I can never earn it. You can never earn it. I can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. Our very best is like filthy rags to God. Scripture tells us that. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. The very best I can be is not good enough for God. See, we can't comprehend that, I believe. How pure God is. How so pure He is that He cannot even look upon sin. We addressed that before. In that, Jesus sets us free. As He said, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. But don't take my word for it. Let's go on into the Bible even more. There's many other scriptures that talk about this, but I'm going to pull out a few. We're going to go back into Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, and it's full right there with it. But I'm going to just pull out a few of them here. Starting in verse 5. For if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. You see, we are slaves to something. We're either going to be slaves to sin or we're going to be slaves to Christ. We're going to see that even more here. Verse 7. For he has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. That's so true. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead is never to die again. Death no longer has its master over Him. And guess what? Death no longer has master over us. Oh, yeah, but preacher, you just got through saying I'm going to die at some point. Yeah, physically. We're not talking about that physical death. We're talking that spiritual death. That's actually more important than physical death. Physical death ends. Spiritual death goes on for eternity. He goes on here and he says, verse 10, for the death that he died, that's Christ, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. Jesus sets us free. You see, we can either be a slave to sin or we're going to be a slave to Jesus. And that's what he's telling us right there. Verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, people read that verse, and they can take it out. Well, the Old Testament is irrelevant. We're under grace. We're on the New Testament. No, actually, Jesus took the Old Testament and he lifted the bar even higher. What the Old Testament called sin, Jesus took it up even higher. We can go into that and read what he tells us. If you think it in your mind, you commit sin. It don't have to be a physical act according to him, according to God. And he's true. He's right. It doesn't have to be a physical act. It's just our mind. That enslavement to sin. He goes on in verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sinning resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. There it is right there. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. There. God's word tells us. We're either a slave to sin or we're going to be a slave to God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a slave to God. Because again, sin is going to lead us down the wrong path. God will always look after what's best for us. But he even goes even farther. Verse 22. But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. That's a beautiful verse right there with it. But having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. So when you get down to it, we are slaves. We're actually not free. And like I said before with it, I'd rather be a slave to God than a slave to sin. Because God's always going to be the best for us, the best for you and me. So how do we get that freedom? You know, how do we get this freedom from Jesus Christ? Actually, you flip over a little farther in God's Word, or Romans chapter 10. It tells us this. Romans chapter 10. I don't know if some of y'all might be catching on to this, but we're going down what's called the Roman road. The steps that you can lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not might or a possibility. You will be saved. For with the heart of a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God doesn't tell us anything else on that. It doesn't say you got to do this and this and this and this. He doesn't say you got to jump through this hoop or that hoop. He says just believe and confess. You know, that's pretty simple, is it not? And I think I talked about this one time before, about the fact how we like to complicate things. We like to think we can know better than God, and we like to complicate God's plan. But He has made it that simple. The one I always fall back to is the thief on the cross. Did he ever tithe? He never even got his name on the roll. He was never baptized. Now, I'm Southern Baptist. I believe in tithing. I believe God's Word tells us that. I believe in being baptized. But those don't save you. They're what has happened on the inside. They show what happens on the inside. They're that outward reflection that comes out of us with Jesus. Thief was never even in Sunday school. He never even got to church. And like I've told before about it, I believe in coming to church. You know, people use that, well, I can go to church anywhere. I'll be out on the golf course going to church. I can be on the boat going to church. Hunting, going to church. Yes, you can worship God wherever you are. But God does tell us that we need to gather together. We need to be in this environment right here. Why? Because it helps us grow. It helps us walk closer with God. I'm going to pick on family, husband and wife. Husbands, how do you get to know your wife? Spending time with her. Wives, how do you get to know your husband? Spend time with him. How do we get to know God? Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Not only quiet time, but also collectively gathering together. You're here today. You've probably been walking with the Lord a long time. Longer than me. And you might be thinking, well, this is great. I appreciate this. But do you still sin? The answer is yes. We're never going to stop sinning. But because of Jesus Christ and the freedom we have through Him, sin no longer masters us. I heard this saying once and it stuck with me because it actually, when I look at it, I could see it in my own life growing up. And this is how it was described. Growing up as a boy, I used to love to get in mud puddles. Matter of fact, as I was putting this together and thinking about it, I still remember this time over at Edwards, the preacher had some work done at his house. And the preacher's house was just one house over from where I grew up. And he had this huge mound of dirt in his backyard. And it had poured down rain. And myself and the preacher's son and several others just had us a good old time. And I can still remember Mrs. Green coming out there with the garden hose to wash us off right there, because she wasn't even going to let us near her house. Because mud didn't bother me back then. It didn't bother me. I didn't care about it. It didn't affect me. Matter of fact, the dirtier you were, the better off you felt with it. But then all of a sudden I got older. And I realized I didn't need to be in the mud puddle anymore. I didn't need to do that anymore. Now, I don't know about you. You might not notice, but I'm sure. I know it might be a surprise. Not to Scott, I know that, but you know. But I'm sure. You know, there have been times when I would go hunting and I try to cross over this ditch. And you know what's going to happen. I think I can make it. And I don't. I fall into the mud. But I don't stay there. I get up and I clean up and I keep going. You see, that is what sin is like to a believer. It's a mud puddle. We can still get into it, but we don't stay in it. It doesn't master us anymore. I'm not enslaved to it. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us back there. With it. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. There's another verse right here, another passage I want to read. So you see, when we get in that sin, we get in that mud puddle, we get up out of it. We're not going to be completely sinless until we either die to be with Him or the rapture happens. But that doesn't give us an excuse to just go live in life and continue sin. I will say this. You think, well, that gives me free reign. I can do whatever I want to do. Then really what it makes me question is, do you truly believe in Jesus? Because when Jesus comes into your life changes. Like I said, I don't want to be in those mud puddles anymore. Whereas when I was younger, I was a magnet to them. Or they were a magnet to me, I might say. And you know, that's one thing about sin. Sin makes things look good until you get in it, and then you realize how bad it really is. Oh, Jesus sets us free. Thing is, we'll never lose that salvation. Christ actually in John chapter 10 says this. John chapter 10 verses 28 and 29. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's where we get as Baptists, once saved, always saved. God says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus says no one can snatch us out from His hand. Once people become a child of God, we are locked in. locked in. But guess what? You can get out of fellowship with God if you stay in those mud puddles too long. If you continue to get back out. Jesus sets us free. He sets us free from the enslavement of sin. We celebrate our country's freedom, and rightfully so. We are the greatest country in this world. Like I said, you go and you see all these videos from everybody that's coming over for the World Cup, and they're just shocked by it all. Astonished with things. But we also need to remember where true freedom comes from. Jesus Christ. Because guess what? This country's freedom might not last 250 years. Elton and I were just talking about before service. Roman government. Over 1,000. We don't know the meaning of longevity right there. Even though you and I will never see it anymore. I'll say that. The people that were there that 250 years ago aren't here right now. But we're talking about eternity. Eternity freedom. And that can only be done through Jesus Christ. So today, I want to ask you, if you're here, you're not a believer, do you want true freedom? It can only happen through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no books that will help you. There's no counselor that can help you on this earth. I can't even do it. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. All I can do is point you. And that's what's happening this morning. If you're here and you're not a believer, today Christ is talking to you. And He's saying, come. Come and get the freedom that He can provide. Nothing else in this world will be able to do that. You might be here this morning, you are a believer. And like I've challenged every time with this, are you going to share that freedom with other people? Are you going to tell others about that freedom through Jesus Christ? Because we need to. We need to share. Not just overseas, but I'm talking about on the other side of the track. I'm talking about the people that don't act like us, don't look like us. Some of our neighbors, possibly. Yes, I'm even talking about that neighbor you might not can stand. You need to talk to them about the freedom of Jesus Christ. Because God tells us to do that. So you're here this morning. You want salvation? Jesus is offering it to you. He's already given it to you. He's given it right there. All you have to do is believe in Him. Come down front. I will pray with you. If you're a believer here and you want to rededicate your life, recommit your life, come down front. I will pray with you on that. Whatever it may be. You might want to join this church. Come down front and I'll pray with you and we'll put you in touch with who needs to be talking with you about joining this church. God's brought you here this morning for a reason. It wasn't just to get out of the heat, even though it blessed the air conditioner, yes. But it wasn't just to get out of the heat. He brought you here for a reason. Whatever reason it is, you respond to Him this morning. We're going to stand, have a time of prayer, and then we'll have our invitation. Stand with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that you're giving us. Lord, if there is someone here in this congregation, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray they will do it this morning. I pray that they will come and receive that true freedom that you can give, only you. Lord, if there's a believer here that needs prayer, I pray that they will come down. Lord, whatever reason, whatever's going on in anybody's life this morning, you work it with them, Lord. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother.
Our hymn of invitation is Without Him. Been a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Been a great, great. Anything you got, Brother Roddy, you need to say? Any other announcements I might have missed this morning? All right. Well, let's sing something beautiful. I hope God has made something beautiful of your life like He did mine. So let's sing that as we leave. Something beautiful of my life. Y'all have a blessed day.